I greet you this morning in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful Lord's Day. As we come this morning, we are thankful to be here and thankful for the blessings of the Lord that has permitted us to meet together once again. As we come, we do want to remember that Friday is Patriots Day, remembering those who lost their lives on September the 11th, 2001 in the terror attacks in New York City. We know that they'll never be forgotten, especially by the Lord, nor hopefully by us as well. As we come this morning, before we go into the Word of God, I still want to sing a song, a special. The message on my heart today concerns the church in Antioch, Syria, in the book of Acts chapter 11, and how that the people in the city called the disciples of Christ Christians, they will know we are Christians by our love. Turn your Bibles again today to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. I've been doing a series of messages from the Acts of the Apostles concerning the spread of the early church. How that when the church was founded in Jerusalem, that persecution began to arise immediately upon the disciples in Jerusalem. And because of persecution, the disciples then began to be scattered abroad throughout the regions around about them. And that was God's design, that the church would spread to other places and ultimately all over the world. He didn't intend for the church to stay in Jerusalem. He intended for the church to go out and evangelize, to go to other parts and other regions, that God's people in other places might have the privilege to hear the sound of the gospel trumpet. We found last Sunday in Acts chapter 10 that the Apostle Peter received a very startling revelation to him. You know, the Jews pretty well stayed to themselves. They had no dealings with the Samaritans, and they had no dealings with the Gentiles as much as they could avoid it. And you also remember that in the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 11, initially, Jesus himself said, "Go ye out among Israel, not among the Gentiles, but among the Jews only, preaching the gospel." But we know that as the church begins to grow, that it is quickly seen that God intends for this gospel of Christ to be preached to all nations and to all peoples, Gentiles as well as Jews. And Peter received a great vision of a sheet coming down out of heaven, knit at the four corners. And in that there were all manner of four-footed beasts of unclean animals that it was not permitted the Jews to eat. And the Lord said to Peter, "Rise, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." But the Lord told Peter, "What I have cleansed, call thou not common nor unclean." And then Peter knew then that God was calling him to go preach to the Gentiles. And you remember that Cornelius in the city of Caesarea, he also had a vision. And the Spirit told him to send men unto Joppa that they might find a man called Peter and bring him back to his house, and he will tell you all things concerning me. So he did. So Peter went with them back to the house of Cornelius, and he preached to them Jesus Christ. And in the latter end of chapter 10, where we left off last Sunday, we saw in the beginning of verse 44, "And while Peter yet spoke these words," he just preached to them, "the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so we find that Peter baptized them, and they tarried there for certain days until Peter returned to Jerusalem. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this privilege of worship through the Word. As we look in thy Word now, may thy Spirit be our guide and our teacher, and may you liberate our hearts and minds, and then our feet, that we may go out and walk and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Peter returns from Caesarea to Jerusalem, and he rehearses what happened in the household of Cornelius to the church in Jerusalem. And he ultimately got down to verse 17 in chapter 11. So chapter 11, verse 17. "For as much then as God gave them," the Gentiles, "the like gift as he did to us," that is to the Jews, "who believed on him," who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, "what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter tells the church back there in Jerusalem that it was God's will for Jesus to be preached to the Gentiles, and who am I to withstand God, or to go against the will of God? That sounds very similar to the words of Gamaliel, one of the Jewish members of the Jewish Council, who told the Jewish Council, "If this movement of Christianity be of God, then we cannot hinder it. We cannot stand against it." And so it was that certainly he didn't want to go against the will of God. So he said, "Who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, the church in Jerusalem, then they held their peace and they glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance unto life. We all need that every day in our lives. God's children, born of the Spirit, we need to repent daily of our sins and turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord in obedience and faith. And when we do that, it brings us into life once again. Now, we already have a home in eternal heaven, but when we repent, we are restored to the joy of our salvation and to living the abundant life that God has intended that we live. That's what Jesus told us in John chapter 10. I'm come that they might not only have eternal life, but also might have life more abundantly. And that's what we desire, to live the abundant Christian life. And so, God then had granted to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews repentance unto life. Now, beginning in verse 19, the storyline changes once again. And beginning in verse 19 of chapter 11, of book of Acts, it goes back before Peter's trip to the household of Cornelius, before the conversion of the Gentiles. Now we find the church is spreading out, and the church in Antioch, Syria is established. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, the stoning of Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. So again, you see here, initially they went to the Jews only. This is before that Peter went to the Gentiles. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. These were Jews living in Greek cities. They were called Grecian Jews. Which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these were Grecian Jews preaching to Greek-speaking Jews and also Gentiles in the great metropolis of Antioch, Syria. At that time was the capital of Syria. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Now that is a marvelous statement. When we are engaged in the work of the ministry, when the church is engaged in the work of ministry, it will only prosper if the hand of the Lord is with us. That is, if the hand of the Lord is for us, on our side, with us, as we pray that we might do those things that God would have us to do in His service, praying, not my will, but your will be done, praying for the Lord to show us what we ought to be doing, then the hand of the Lord will indeed be with us and for us. And so we find that's a wonderful statement, that the hand of the Lord was with them, and here was the result of it. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So the church is spreading. Converts are being made daily. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 on another occasion. It doesn't say how many here, but God's people were being converted to the truth of what Jesus came to do by the hundreds and by the thousands. Revival was happening among Jews and Gentiles. And when the tidings of these things that were happening in Antioch came back to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, what did the church in Jerusalem do? They determined that they might send Barnabas to Antioch, that he would go as far as Antioch to confirm the disciples there. So they wanted to go and see what was happening. When these things began to come back to them, the news spread rapidly. The Apostle Paul, and we'll find in other places, for example, in 1 Thessalonians, it says this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says concerning the spreading of the word of what was happening among God's people. It says, beginning in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "And you became followers of us and followers of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So the same thing was happening with the church in Antioch. Their faith was being lived out in their lives, and they were spreading that abroad, and so that they were the greatest witnesses that for Christ. That you didn't have to go tell what was happening. You could see it. And it was spreading like wildfire. And so news came to the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was also a Greek-speaking Jew from the island nation of Cyprus. And he became the Apostle Paul's companion when Paul started his journeys and preachings. And look what happened here in verse 23. Who, when he came, what did he do first? He saw the grace of God in them. When he had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So the hand of the Lord was with them. And you could see the grace of the Lord in the lives of these children of the Lord in Antioch. And I pray that it's the same way with us today. That when people see us in the world today, that it would be evident, first of all, that it would be evident among our own people, that we can see the grace of God working in our lives. He has already worked His grace in us, but we need to work out what He has worked in. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is. We need to work out what Christ has worked in. He says this, having your conversation, verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation. I know I was looking for Philippians, excuse me. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. The outworking of the grace of God. I was one book off there. First, Philippians 2. Beginning in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. The grace of the Lord has worked in our hearts eternal salvation, and we want it to shine forth abroad so that others may see the grace of God in our lives. So Barnabas, when he came to Antioch, he saw the grace of God abundantly in the lives of these people. And when he saw it, he was glad, and he exhorted them that they would, with purpose of heart, that they would cleave to the Lord. The church is to have purpose. We are to be a purpose-driven church. A purpose-driven church. And that purpose is that with singleness of heart, we might serve Him with reverence and godly fear. It says in verse 24 that Barnabas was a good man. He was just like one of the deacons that were chosen in church in Jerusalem. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. He was well respected, and much people were added to the Lord. So again, we see the church growing and growing. What a wonderful thing it is to see. And my prayer is today that we will once again see the church grow more and more. It's a sad reality, not just among Primitive Baptists, but among churches in general, that when you come to church on Sunday morning, there are lots of empty pews. And we know that, of course, now in the recent months, we've had the pandemic, which has changed the dynamic. But even before then, we had become, I believe, apathetic or not realizing the great blessing that we ought to have to stay in God's house. But we find now the church is growing. And Barnabas then goes and he gets Saul. Remember Saul? God met him on the road to Damascus back in chapter 9. And he was from the city of Tarsus. And now Barnabas, he knew Saul. And he knows that Saul would be the perfect one to come help him in Antioch to minister the Word of God to the church there. So he goes, he gets Saul from Tarsus, and he brings him to Antioch. In a whole entire year, they assemble themselves with the church at Antioch, and they teach them the Word of God. And the disciples, this is one of the main points I want to look at now today, the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. They never referred to themselves as Christians, but rather others around them called them Christians. Now some say that it was a derogatory slur toward them. It could have been, but whether that was the case or whether it was just knowing that they were following the teachings of Christ, their Messiah, that they called them Christians. Because it was so evident that Jesus was working in their lives. They could see evidence of the grace of God working in their lives. So the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And that's the greatest compliment we can be paid. That people would see us, realize that we are striving to be a follower of Christ. That's what the word means. Christian, a follower of Christ. The word disciple means a student of Jesus Christ. A pupil of His. And so we find that we are to be such a witness for Christ that people would call us, there's a follower of Christ. It's evident. I can see it in their life. And it was evident in the church in Antioch, because you read then in the closing verses of chapter 11 how that there came another prophet named Agabus and showed unto the people that there was about to be a great famine. There was about to be a great dearth or a famine throughout the land. And it was going to be especially hard in Jerusalem. And we find then the church in Antioch immediately sending probably money and food and clothing, whatever they needed to help the church and the people of Jerusalem and other places. And so we see the church working and helping others, giving to those in need. And that's what we are also to be doing today. And in those days came a prophet from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of those prophets named Agabus, and he signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a great famine throughout the known world. That came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability. You remember Jesus in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 says that the householder gave to the servants talents, every man according to his ability. And so we are to use those gifts and goods that God has entrusted to our care and use them to the glory of God and for the good of God's people. And so that's what they did. They determined to send relief to the brethren that dwelled in Judea and in Jerusalem. And so they did. And they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we find in the lesson today that, number one, the hand of the Lord was with them. That's the key to all of it. The hand of the Lord was with them and for them. He was on their side. He was blessing their effort in ministry. And then we find the grace of God is evident in their life. They not only prayed and read their Bible internally in their home, but they lived it out openly that others could see evidence of God's grace working in their lives. When the gospel was preached, the Spirit of the Lord witnessed in their heart, and they believed, and they turned from their sin in repentance and faith. And when they did that, it was unto life. Repentance unto life. And as it was evident that God's grace was abundant in their heart, they were called Christians, followers of Christ. And when famine came, what did they do? They put shoe leather to their faith and they helped those in need. And that's what we are to do today. I want to look over in closing in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They helped those in need. Paul, when he was writing back to the church in Corinth, he gave them the admonition to help those in need. And he showed them the example of other churches of the region of Macedonia who were doing that very same thing. And he says, "Moreover, brethren," 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "we do you to wit," or to witness, here it is again, "of the grace of God bestowed on the churches that were in Macedonia." God's grace was evident. how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in the Lord, and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Now, they were not wealthy in material things, but they were rich in the Lord, and then they determined that they would give to help others. For to their power, he said, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us that with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That is, helping those in need. That's what he was talking about. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but the first thing they did was this. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that's what we must do first. We must surrender our will, our desires, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it all to Him. Surrender it all to Him. And then to His people. To us, He says, by the will of God. So He says, we desired Titus also that he would finish in the same, would also finish in you this same grace of giving, the grace of giving also. And so we find the church is growing by leaps and bounds. But also remember this, when the church is growing and prospering, the old devil and the world we live in, that's when they're going to come against us the hardest to cast us down. So be on guard and keep your armor on that you might be able to fend off the wiles of the devil and let it be evident to others that the hand of the Lord is with you and that they can see the grace of God in you is my prayer for Christ's sake.